Welcome to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series, a project of the Geneva Peacebuilding Platform. Geneva Peace Week was founded on the core belief that each person, actor, and institution has a role to play in building peace and resolving conflict. Geneva Peace Week is an annual forum in the peacebuilding calendar that includes ceremonies, high-level panels, policy briefings, workshops, videos, podcasts, and other special events. These free contributions are hosted by different organizations and actors around the world. This year, Geneva Peace Week celebrates its 10th anniversary and is held from the 30th of October to the 3rd of November, 2023. For more content, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.
Hello, you are listening to the third episode of Investing in Women and Peace, the stories of women's essential roles shaping peace processes worldwide. A podcast produced by Inclusive Peace and the United Nations Women's Peace and Humanitarian Fund, WPHF, for the Geneva Peace Week 2023 digital series. This episode will be moderated by Brittany Flanagan from WPHF, who is joined by two speakers from Sudan and Eswatini. Salwa El-Sadeq has managed projects on women, peace and security under the Dutch National Action Plan on Resolution 1325 in Sudan for the last 10 years. Wimbai Kapurura is a gender expert and the founder, as well as executive director, of Women Unlimited Eswatini, with more than 10 years of experience on developmental work focusing on gender, human rights, peace building, and socioeconomic development issues. Salwa and Wimbai will use the next 15 minutes to exchange on the linkages between participation and protection of women peace builders in contexts where protection needs have recently become significantly more acute. Please note that the views expressed in this episode are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the position of views of Inclusive Peace or WPHF.
Hi Hilda, thank you for joining us today. Hilda, can you share with us how young women and girls are affected by armed conflict and also share some examples of some of the needs you are seeing?
Yes. Palestinian women are educated, are highly educated women, meaning that they have a BA and some have a master's degree, but they live in marginalized areas of the West Bank. They live under poor circumstances because there is no job opportunities enough for young women. So they face the hard time to find job opportunities, and usually it is not in their cities. It's outside their cities in Ramallah. Sometimes they are not allowed to come to Ramallah or live by their own in Ramallah or even leave their cities. So they are the sector in the society that when there is any kind of violence or closure or attacks, they are the ones who are affected most, since they are living in a culture with habits that prevent them to leave their countries out of fear for their safety. In the West Bank, there are a lot of checkpoints on the road to Ramallah, so sometimes their families pressurize them not to leave because they are frightened for their safety. Sometimes there are attacks on checkpoints and people are killed. Sometimes there are attacks from settlers on cars, on Palestinian cars, and they might be injured. So the family takes this as a justification to prevent their girls to be empowered or to join activities that are outside their city. They tell them that we are frightened for your safety. And they prevent them to be part of the political process. When there is any kind of political process, they are prevented to take part. And this is the most difficult thing, because not being part of political parties, not being part of any political process is a problem for youngsters in particular, who are two-thirds of the society are young women and men. So when they are marginalized and they don't have space to be politically empowered, this means that they are not part of what's taking place in the country. That's why it is important to have NGOs, civil society organizations that can be the space for them to be active in a way or another.
Thank you so much, Hilda. Can you share why it is important to engage youth to build peace? And maybe some examples you have from the context of Palestine?
Yes, it is really important because the percentage of young women and men in Palestine is 66% of the population. So they are the power. They have a lot of energy, and it is important really to include them in any peace process or any kind of peace work. So really it is important to drag them to your space to make them interested in peace, to give them a place on the table when their political parties are meeting or when the local governments are meeting to discuss any political process. Really, it's important to have them in. They are a power and they are a majority. And they have education. They are educated and they are interested also in being part of what is going on in their country.
Thank you so much, Hilda. Can you share more on what are the challenges to young people's participation in peace processes, especially in conflict settings?
Yes, one of the most important challenge is the pressure that they face from their families. Usually these young women are living in with the family. They don't live on their own, so they are living with the families, and the family is the one who decides about their movement and their leaving the house. So they have to take permission to be involved in any other work or an interest, for example. So sometimes they are prevented to travel to Ramallah to join any activities or campaigns that are taking place there, because the family sometimes are fundamental. They don't want their daughters to be part of the public sphere. They want them to be just in the house and to be confined in the private sphere. They don't want their girls to also be subject to any kind of harassment on the checkpoints. They are frightened that in times of unrest, there might be a curfew or there might be closure in Palestine. And there are many cases when you travel to a place, you go to a city and there is closure and the city is closed and you have to stay there. This is a challenge by itself. So the families are frightened that their young girls will be stuck in a city and are not able to leave for some days. And this happened many times. In addition to that, the society as a whole, the people are not accustomed, or they don't want women to be part of the political process.
Thank you so much, Hilda, for sharing those valuable insights. I want to give the floor to you one more time for a final statement.
Yes. So, I believe that since political parties are not really interested in having young women and youngsters in particular as leaders, we as an NGO are we provide the safe space for these young activists to learn more, to discuss political issues without being criticized. To understand more, to think of how to reach more people and how to change the society into reaching peace in non-conflict measures. So I think this is the duty of the NGOs, who have limited space, limited resources, limited outreach due to different lack of funding and to all the challenges that the NGOs face at the moment. But still, it is the place where it can give these youngsters the space to learn more, to exchange ideas and to believe more in peace and to have the chance to spread ideas of peace. So it is important that within what we are witnessing these days and throughout, it is important to reach out to as much young people as possible and make them interested, make them in. So the important strategy that we should use is to have them with us, believe in peace, believe in democracy, believe in the importance of building a state within democratic measures.
Thank you so much, Hilda. I now want to turn to South Sudan. Kansi, can you tell us more on what are the core challenges for young women peace builders hindering their participation in peace processes under conditions of restricted civic space?
Yeah, thank you. for the opportunity. Basing on seeing some of the core challenges that young women face in participating in peace processes. Yes, some we would see them as minor, but also depending on the situations and also the context of conflicts and areas of concern. One key thing, like basing on what is really on ground here, it's the limited civic and political spaces where young women can easily participate in and also send in their voices. Much as we also see that the civic spaces are also shrinking, it's also a challenge here that it's so limited. And to a greater extent is more in the urban settings. Rural young people, where they're mostly affected by the conflicts, do not even know if these spaces do exist or do not even have connections or even knowledge about them, where they can go and participate in such spaces. And most times they are not even aware of the ongoing political activities or even being affiliated to a specific political parties so that they can also participate in sending out their voices or even participate as active candidates. They are not aware, and the few available are not even reaching out to them and trying to bring in also their participation or even recognizing their presence and their participation. We also look at another core challenge being the cultural norms and the structural exclusion, especially for young women, where we see young women activists face a lot of challenges and also additional hurdles on top of the existing discrimination and cultural norms that possess them with a lot of resistance being faced from the government and also bodies who see their work that's a challenge to them and also as a threat to the regime, and also sometimes from their own family members, because as we know as women, sometimes when you're speaking for a peace to prevail, sometimes we do not only speak for ourselves, but we speak with a lot of passion, we speak with a lot of seeing the future, not on the other way that sometimes people come to speak for their own interest, for their own agenda. And as women and young people, we say sometimes we speak and we want reality to be on ground. So being excluded on cultural norms and structurally, because at grassroots level, most times if we go for our outreaches, you see decision-making spaces in maybe cultural courts, in maybe cultural dialogues, or maybe cultural negotiations for compensations where there might have been conflicts and people have lost lives, people have lost properties, people have even been abused sexually. So in such spaces, young women are excluded to even sit and also share out their own experiences and also what they demand for justice to prevail. So those exclusions make them still to be limited, and it's a challenge that is also hindering their participation in peace processes.
Thank you for sharing more on the challenges. Now we would like to ask you to share some of the best practices or strategies for young women to continue participating and channeling their voices in cases of stalled peace processes or agreements in South Sudan.
Yeah, we believe not just the challenges, it should not take us to the back of the house and we hide our faces. We will continue to amplify, we will continue to make the young people who are ready on the spaces to continue and bring in more. Some of these would take us into making use of the available opportunities, just such as the media platforms. I'm saying this because it has helped a lot in trying to interpret and disseminate the information of the roadmap, the revitalized agreement, the roadmap implementation. Because during our visits and different activities, it has been one of the key things, using the local radio stations as platforms for disseminating this information. And you do not get surprised that some of these communities, it was their first time, and young people getting to talk about the issues of their country, getting the privilege to come and discuss and giving their suggestions through such a platform such as the local radio stations that covers a wide distance at a go, but far and wide. So making use of such platforms is also one of our practice that we are seeing. It is reaching many young people and also trying to bring in young people who may not even be in position to maybe speak in public spaces physically, but they are there in the station and airing out their voices and speaking for the rest of the people who may not have access to such platforms. And also getting the leverage to ally with the international agencies who are on ground trying to also work hand in hand. We do see that young women groups or young women networks that have come up due to some of these interventions we have made, it has been easier for them now to leverage on those opportunities with international agencies on ground so that their voices are heard, because some of these agencies provide access, easy access to platforms where the voices of these young people are really heard out easily, like going for a press conference or making press statements that are released in news. It's all a platform through which young people's participation can still be increased and also kept constant. It is not only in the urban settings, but also goes to the rural communities.
Thank you, Kansi, for sharing such important examples.
You've been listening to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series. For more content like this, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.